Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. Let me begin by saying that I hope you're all keeping safe and well and healthy in isolation. This week, I'm joined on the podcast by Jack Howard, and he and I are going to be discussing our favourite Steven Soderbergh movies. Now, this podcast was actually recorded a few weeks ago. Seems like a lifetime ago now, because Jack and I were in the same room. We recorded this before the current coronavirus lockdown. So, listening from the safety of your own home, sit back and enjoy the sound of Jack and I in the same space as we were then, talking about our favourite Steven Soderbergh movies. And if you enjoy this conversation and you'd like to see a visual version of it, well, why not go to our Patreon site, where the whole thing is available in video form. Anyway, sit back and enjoy Jack and I talking Soderbergh.
We've decided that, because one of the things that's happening at the moment is that because cinemas are closed, people are watching a bunch of stuff on, on VOD and on streaming. And you pointed out that one of the most streamed and watched movies in the middle of this whole crisis is
Contagion. Steven Soderbergh's 2011 film Contagion has had a massive resurgence. I think it was the second most downloaded film on iTunes Movies, and I saw it on the charts right next to Ford versus Ferrari, and I was like, oh. Weird, and I'd never seen it. And
oh, you hadn't seen it before?
And I watched it earlier this week. It is fantastic.
It is great, isn't it?
And they must be like, we fucking nailed this.
The reason Contagion is important to me, not in terms of the virus contagion stuff, is I was in a screening with a whole bunch. I mean, I wrote a book some time ago about how film criticism was responding or not responding to the dawn of the internet and online blogging. And there is a line in the film which famously virtually got a round of applause from the old school fusty film critics.
Hang on, let me guess. Is it the blogging isn't blogging journalism?
It's graffiti with punctuation.
Yeah, which is such an Aaron Sorkin line.
I know. But what's so brilliant about it is like the room of old men in typewriters went, yay!
immediately 4 stars. You can't do anything better.
It's just so weird. You've never heard a bunch of people protecting their own jobs more than the sound of everyone going, say that! And I remember, of course, Kim Newman had the best line about it all. Was Kim Newman said, blogging has punctuation.
Virus is 15 to 19 kilobases in length and containing 6 to 10 genes. Typical of a paramyxa virus.
Godzilla,
potentially
King
a
Kong,
mutant on.
And Frankenstein. All in one.
Hold on. I'll call you back.
And you've got it in there, haven't you?
Oh, really? Look,
where did
get
it come
away
from?
From here, Alan.
Military,
you're not a doctor and you're not a writer.
Organism. Yes, I am a writer. Yes, I am.
Blogging is not writing. It's graffiti with punctuation.
I am a journalist, and there's informed discussion on the blogosphere that this is a biological weapon.
You want to talk to me? Call my office and make an appointment.
Anyway, so Contagion is... I mean, Contagion is really kind of nailed by... I mean, I remember I think I concluded my original review of it, but you'll never feel easy about someone sneezing again.
Yeah.
And I just read the review, and in the middle of everything that's been going on recently, it was like, well, it is eerily prophetic, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really is.
Down to the bat thing.
Yes. It's amazing. Scott Z. Burns has done an interview. He's the writer.
Scott Z. Burns.
He has done an interview recently about his film going, here we go, viral, eh?
Hey.
And his response is kind of he's like, I'm not surprised, because all the scientists and the people that he researched and the research he did in general about it was like, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's not a big surprise. But I suppose just the fact that his film has found a new life must be exciting.
Like you said, number two in the iTunes charts for a film that was out, you know,
nine years ago.
9 years ago. And not a big budget film. He's got lots of stars in it, but it's kind of, you know, made in that very
That's one of the things that I love from the very start, in the first 10 minutes. It's this stunt casting, the psycho thing of, oh, Gwyneth Paltrow's, oh, she's dead. And then they kill the kid.
Yes, I'm just...
It's just, and it's horrific. From the start, you're like, oh, this is dangerous.
And Jude Law in slimy Jude Law.
So
form.
Slimy Jude
he's
Law.
Best slimy Jude Law.
I think slimy Jude Law is the best in Sam Mendes's film, the one with Tom Hanks.
Yes, Road to Perdition. Road to Perdition.
So brilliant. I think in this...
Bad teeth.
But I could have done without the Australian accent. I think he's overdone. It's a bit Mary Poppins. You know, it's a bit overdone. I think that I can't remember who said this, but I completely agree that Soderbergh treats touching like a pole on public transport and wherever our hands go in terms of it treats it like the shark in Jaws.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he holds on things for just a touch too long and makes you feel eerie about
it. Yes, it makes you feel that you want to come out of that film, wash your hands.
Don't touch me.
Don't sneeze and don't sniff.
Yeah.
You know. And so as a result of this, we said, okay, look, let's do top three Steven Soderbergh movies.
Yeah.
Problem is, Steven Soderbergh's catalogue is just mental. I mean, there's so much of it.
He does so much, and it's a little bit like Danny Boyle, where it's so eclectic as well. Danny Boyle.
You have to do it.
You do.
Completely eclectic, all over the place in terms of genres, in terms of budget, in terms of style, in terms of genre.
And you can watch his... Like, he has a style. He definitely has a style, but you can watch something of his, and it can feel immensely different from one to the other, but you kind of still know it's Soderbergh.
Yeah.
I adore Steven Soderbergh. Right. I think that he is, in terms of the directors that do shift genres, I think he's the person who can nail it.
Okay.
And more so than Danny Boyle does. I think Danny Boyle has got more misses than hits.
Okay.
And I think Soderbergh has got more hits than misses.
Okay, so top three, and I'm going to let you start because you're such a
big fan.
Number three.
And number three, because I only saw it recently, I'm going to put it in there though, is his first film, it's Sex, Lies and Videotape.
Very good choice.
I only saw it recently and was just completely, like, I can't believe I hadn't
seen this
before. You're
amazed by how good Andy McDowell is.
Oh my God, she's great.
Oh my God.
She's never been better.
I know. And you go, but the person who said, is it raining? I hadn't noticed. And yet somehow in Sex, Lies and Videotape, she is, I mean, that and Shortcuts are the two things which are kind of...
I haven't seen Shortcuts.
But it's like the two things you go to, don't ever tell me Andy McDowell can't act. Because it's become a kind of cliche now to be sniffy about Andy McDowell's acting. She's so good in Sex, Lies and Videotape.
She's charming enough in Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but like in this, she's like, it's a proper... And what I think about this with Sex, Lies and Videotape is that he made it when he was 26. He was 26 years old. It feels like the work of a way more mature filmmaker.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of Mike Nichols in a lot of ways. The sort of relationship, like, because I'm a big fan of Closer. And I'm a big fan of American Beauty as well.
Closer.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
We'll do a podcast about it.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
I hate Closer.
Oh,
we'll
wow.
We'll do it, honestly, we do need to
talk about that. But I'm a big fan of those relationship type movies where it's about the way that people are behind closed doors, their secrets, their sex lives, the honesty of all that. I'm a big, big fan. It really speaks to me. And I think that Sex, Lies and Videotape is one of the best ones I've ever seen in terms of that. Everybody's so well drawn. It's so great.
Massively quotable. Liars and Lawyers, which is something that I've said ever since then. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it's the keys. I just want one key.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that thing when James Spader does the thing about how...
Yeah.
I think that is like one of the best... ever. You just go, yes, what he said.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing about that as well? When I watched it, I felt exactly the same, and I felt super, like almost intimidated by him, because I was like, he's so self-assured and confident. And then the reveal is that he's doing all of it to try and get an ex-girlfriend back.
Yeah, exactly. It's all
performative. Like, I love that every single character has, like, something else to it. I love that the sister character, who's played by Laura San Giacomo,
like, who was actually the poster star of the film.
Right.
It was her, not Andy McDowell.
Which is weird to think about.
When the film was playing at Cannes, it was her. She was the star of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's Julia Roberts' best mate in Pretty Woman. That's where I recognise her from.
Right. But didn't have Andy McDowell's career, but then became the real star.
Which is bizarre, because I think that she's obviously brilliant in this. And what I love about her character is that typically in a film like this, the woman who's having the affair at some point will hold it over the person who's betraying their spouse. And she doesn't. And I just think that was just a really bold, original choice in writing to go, no, I'm done with this now. It just made her much more interesting. And I love that it became about the sisters rather than about like the relationships between men and women. It became much more about those two. It ends with those two, I think.
But it's also a film about when video cameras were a bit dangerous and a bit sexy.
Yeah.
And the moment when she turns it on him.
Yeah. Reminds me of American Beauty. Like, holds a great debt to this film.
That's interesting.
Like, what's the David Lynch film that everyone talks about?
Inland Empire.
No, is it David Lynch? The one that American Beauty kind of ripped off in terms of suburbia.
Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that everyone refers to that, but I think actually Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of that, especially with the next door neighbour in American Beauty. So it really reminded me of that.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to give you that because it is an open goal choice. So that's great.
What are these?
Those are videotapes.
Oh, I can see that. Of what?
It's a personal project I've been working on.
What kind of personal project?
What?
What kind of personal project?
Personal project like anyone else's personal project. Mine's just a little more personal, I guess.
Who's Donna?
What?
Donna. It says Donna here on the tape.
Donna was a girl I knew in Florida.
Oh, you went out with her?
No, not really.
Why do these tapes all have women's names on them?
Well, I enjoy interviewing women more than men. Oh. It's iced tea.
Thanks.
Do you want some lemon?
No, this is perfect. This is perfect. So all of these are interviews, huh?
Yes.
Can we watch one?
No, I'd, no.
Why not?
Well, I promised each of the subjects that no one would see the videotapes except for me.
What are the interviews about?
The interviews are about sex.
So my number three is Haywire, okay?
Oh, wow.
So this is one of the kind of, you know, as you were saying, Steven Soderbergh does what everyone's doing. And I loved Haywire. So Haywire is basically a kind of action movie, yep. You know, spy action movie.
The poster is so typical. The poster's kind of boring.
The poster
is just like a bunch of heads, you know, title, like, you know, the very typical action movie looking thing. It doesn't look like an interesting Steven Soderbergh film.
And it's Michael Fassbender, but the star of it is Gina Carano, who... Soderbergh,
an MMA fighter?
Yes, so Soderbergh said that he had first fallen for her whilst, quote, watching her beating people to a pulp in a cage.
Yeah.
And when I was doing the video con for Sight and Sound back in the 1980s, I used to love Cynthia Rothrock, okay? Cynthia Rothrock was just, like, fantastic, because she was
Who's that?
Cynthia Rothrock was the straight-to-video female action star.
Ah.
You know, who she was the Arnold Schwarzenegger of her arena.
Okay.
I don't think she was never kind of big movie, but, you know, big screen movie, so she may have been in, but that was where she made her mark. And she was really great. And there were some bunch of really great Cynthia Rothrock movies. And there would always be a couple of scenes in which somebody would, and she would beat the shit out of them. And they were like really good fun to watch. And I remember watching Haywire just thinking, this is like
the same reminder.
This is the legacy of Cynthia Rothrock. And what I love about it is that when Soderbergh does genre, the Freudian slip, when Soderbergh does genre, he just does genre.
Yes.
It's not, I'm being wry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm commenting.
He
no!
leans into it and does it the best that anyone could do
and
it.
And so he's like looked at Gina Carano and going, okay, I'm going to build a movie in which you do that thing.
Yeah. And I think that Rian Johnson's similar terms of modern day, like leaning into genres. Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, I'm going to really go for it in this genre. Yeah. And yeah, I think Rian Johnson turned things on its head a little bit. But Soderbergh just sort of really leans into it to the point where it feels original again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, let's do this the best you could possibly. And I watched Haywire and I just thought, if it was the 1980s and I was watching this on video, I would just think I had landed in heaven.
Okay, I haven't seen Haywire.
Oh, it's really, honestly, I'm
working my way through all of Soderbergh's stuff, so I'm definitely going to watch that. I wasn't expecting that one to come up.
No, it's really, it's a lesser known one, but it is really, really, really good.
Mallory.
Dad, don't say anything. Give Kenneth the phone.
Just be careful.
Mallory, I hope you've decided to turn yourself in.
You can tell me right now why you sold me out and what you're into with Studer, or you can tell me in 10 minutes when I have my hands around your throat.
You need to think for a minute, Mallory. You need to stop pretending you can achieve a desirable outcome in this situation and turn yourself in. Do it for the sake of your father.
Surrender now if you want to live.
I'm sorry, Mallory, that's not possible.
All right, Kenneth, we'll do it your way.
She's here.
Here? Where?
In the house. Track says she's in the house. Go.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, number two.
Logan Lucky.
Wow, okay.
What do you think of Logan Lucky?
I wouldn't have put it in my favourites.
I keep coming back to it.
Okay.
I think there's something... When I watched it in the cinema, I was like, I really liked that. It was Ocean's 11 again, in a way, like, but set in the Deep South, much more overtly funny. the bit when Daniel Craig goes, "You Logans must be as simple as people say." And they at the same time go, "People say that." So great. And there's so many quotable lines just like that. And yet, the story play. I'm such a sucker for heist movies.
Yeah.
It's filmmakers showing the filmmaking process in a different genre. And Soderbergh, there's nobody better at it than him. And I think he just returned and did Logan Lucky and just sort of like coughed it out.
coughed it out.
Do you know what I mean? Just went, there you go. I'm amazing at this.
In that documentary, Dig, the film about the Brian Jonestown massacre and the Dandy Warhols.
Okay.
And there's that line, which I sneeze and hits come out.
Yeah.
You know, it is exactly.
It's a little bit like Dave Chappelle being on stage being like, I'm so good at jokes, I'm going to tell you the punchline now and I'm going to do it later and I'm still going to make it work. Like, he has done that and it's a same with Soderbergh. I think that's why Soderbergh has gone on to be like, I'm going to make some movies on iPhones because
I can.
Because I'm bored and I need a challenge. Yeah. I need to see if I can do. And incidentally, I don't think he's nailed it. I don't think Unsane is.
I love Unsane.
Oh, it feels like a student film, Mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Feels like an exciting student film, though.
Oh, it's better. Obviously, like, he's taking all the elements.
The thing is, you have to understand that I live, you know, for me, my ultimate paranoia, as opposed to being, you know, trapped in a confined space, which is the thing I'm being buried alive. Mm-hmm. My ultimate paranoia is you're in an institution in which everyone thinks you're crazy and it makes you crazy.
Yeah.
And it's the whole thing about the craziness is the, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is, there's something about that that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But I can't get past the weirdly amateur filmmaking that he's clearly chosen for this film, for Unsane.
Okay.
But anyway, back to Logan Lucky. I love that it's got four acts. I love that usually where the heist film would end, where everyone wins and gets away and everyone goes their separate ways and everything. Then they introduce Hilary Swank, like, investigating it and being like, hang on, what? Because I think that is such a... It feels like Soderbergh going, no, actually, I'm going to do what we usually don't see in these movies. I just think it's really fun. I mean, just an example of little details that I find every time I watch it, and I've seen it like five times or something now. The end credits, at the end, you know when it says like based on a real, based on fictitious, whatever. He says, "No one was robbed in the making of this film except you."
You hear the words coming out your mouth? They have their own police force.
I'm midway through my presentation, so you can just not interrupt me and let me get it out. How many times have I listened to that Logan family curse thing of yours? Thank you. Now, as you very well know, Speedway's got a big problem on his hands right now. 40-year-old pipe bursting since the whole thing's built on landfills turning to mush, which causing all these sinkholes. That's right, the sinkholes in the infield. Now, they wanted to fix this thing up right, so what'd they do? What'd they do? They called a bunch of us who used to work down in mines, because we know the work.
Man, you do good work.
We do good work.
But you were just fired.
I was let go for liability reasons involving insurance.
Can you just get to the part of why you think you can do this?
I know how they move the money.
Okay, all right. Well, I think that's a very good choice. My choice for number two is so much safer, almost to the point that we don't have to discuss it.
Aaron Brockovich.
And I resisted putting it in there.
I've got it as my bonus, okay, just fine. In case it didn't come.
And then
come
I just thought, I'm not putting it in there just because it's the obvious, just so heavy. I'm going to put, because it is great.
It's amazing.
It is an important story. It is Julia Roberts at her absolute best. Proof that Soderbergh can do when it's necessary. He can do settled absence of style, you know, leading on story, leading on script. So all the stuff about, yes, he can do,
I think, know, Sex Lies and Videotape is similar,
yes, except the Sex
in terms of the way it's created,
but it has the thing about, you know, it is about video versus film, you know, it's got those. Aaron Brockovich as a piece of storytelling, as a piece of this is the story and I am not going to mess this up. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm going to introduce you to this character who, incidentally, I believed in 100%.
Yep.
Like, I know, real character and everything, but Julia Roberts, okay?
But I think it is the standard. It's the blueprint. I think that Soderbergh's amazing at this anyway, but it's the standard for how do you do a drama that's based on real events. Yeah. I think that that's the film that everyone shoots for.
Yeah, and I think it's up there with Silkwood. I think it's kind of, it's just absolutely on the money. Mm-hmm. And it made me all the more annoyed when, in whichever Ocean's one it was, they get 12. Into the club by Julia Roberts, looking like Julia Roberts. Yep. You go, I'm sorry.
Yep.
No.
Don't do that.
The whole, don't do that. Yeah. Just because that's real. No, I just, it's great. Deserved all the accolades it got. And
you know what's really a fun fact about Aaron Brockovich is that, obviously, Julia Roberts won Best Actress for it, but Steven Soderbergh was nominated for Best Director and won Best Director for Traffic, so he beat himself to Best Director. So when they said, Tom Cruise announces it and goes, the Oscar goes to Steven Soderbergh, I just imagine him being like, for which one? Like, I mean, I don't think anyone, has that ever happened before?
It must have done.
Because like that, imagine that, like the feeling of sitting there being like, I've got double the chance of winning.
Yeah, although as we all know, in fact, it's half the chance of winning. If you get nominated twice, it splits the vote.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so.
But yeah, he won Best Director for Traffic in the year that he made Aaron Brockovich, which I think is an amazing movie as well.
Oh, see, now that pisses me off. First of all, since the demur, we have more than 400 plaintiffs, and let's be honest, we all know there are more out there. They may not be the most sophisticated people, but they do know how to divide, and $20 million isn't shit when you split it between them.
Aaron.
Second of all, these people don't dream about being rich. They dream about being able to watch their kids swim in a pool without worrying that they'll have to have a hysterectomy at the age of 20. Like Rosa Diaz, a client of ours, or have their spine deteriorate like Stan Bloom, another client of ours. So before you come back here with another lame-ass offer, I want you to think real hard about what your spine is worth, Mr. Walker, or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Miss Sanchez. Then you take out your calculator and you multiply that number by 100. Anything less than that is a waste of our time. By the way, we had that water brought in special for you folks. Came from Well and Hinckley.
My number one is Ocean's 11.
Okay, great.
Ocean's 11, I mean, again, it's an open goal choice. We keep talking about them, but I think
it's a bold choice.
I think it's absolutely fantastic in every element of it, except for Don Cheadle's
English accent.
Oh.
You said that's what you said. A bit Mary Poppins.
It's a bit Mary Poppins.
It's a bit Mary Poppins.
Yeah. I mean, why?
David Holmes did the music for it, right?
He did.
Yeah. So it's got that finger popping.
Bom, bom, bam, bam. Yeah. It's that type of thing.
Love David Holmes.
And I think that film is the accumulation of, and he's continued to do it in Contagion, and obviously it started with Sex, Lies and Videotape, and it's in a lot of his movies, is just the ensemble.
Yes.
And making it work and making it feel like it's not messy, like being able to sort of cut between and weave between different storylines and yet to focus the plot up.
Yeah.
And I love that Ocean's 11 isn't just a heist film that's like, we're gonna get the money and we're gonna rob this place and I'm get vengeance on this person. Like, it's actually a story about a husband and wife, and it's not like the front and center of the movie, but it's the shark and Jaws. It's weaving through the whole plot. And the best scenes in it, there's a lot of great scenes in it. But one of the best scenes in it is when George Clooney sits down at the table with Julia Roberts when she's expecting Andy Garcia.
Yeah.
And then they have a conversation, and it's such a movie conversation, but it doesn't feel like movie stars delivering movie lines.
Yeah.
Like, does he make you laugh? He doesn't make me cry. Like, such great little intimate personal moments between people that make you just believe in what's going on a lot more.
We used quite a lot of Ocean's 11 in the Secrets of Cinema that we did about heist movies, mm-hmm. because it is one of those things.
It's
like
blueprint.
A flower. It just kind of opens itself up and says, you know, here, mm-hmm. here is all the stuff, you know. I think it's a real treat watching it.
It is a treat. It really is.
I can watch it whenever.
I can be like, oh, it's safe. Just put Ocean's 11 on.
Yeah, because it's
makes feel warm.
And again, that thing about, you know how good a movie is by how well it overcomes its weakest link, which is Don Cheadle's accent.
Yeah,
and
it really
actually,
is.
That's not the first thing that springs to mind, which I think is an indication of how good it is.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record.
Daniel Ocean.
Thank you. Mr. Ocean, the purpose of this hearing is to determine whether, if released, you are likely to break the law again. While this was your first conviction, you have been implicated, though never charged, in over a dozen other confidence schemes and frauds. What can you tell us about this?
As you say, ma'am, I was never charged.
Mr. Ocean, what we're trying to find out is, was there a reason you chose to commit this crime, or was there a reason you simply got caught this time?
My wife left me. I was upset. I got into a self-destructive pattern.
If released, is it likely you'd fall back into a similar pattern?
She already left me once. I don't think she'd do it again just for kicks.
Mr. Ocean, what do you think you would do if released?
Okay, so my number one, my favourite Steven Soderbergh movie. I keep saying Steven Spielberg. My favourite Steven Soderbergh movie, and I mean this 100%, and the more I think about it, the more I do, is Solaris. And I'll tell you exactly why. I have a particular infuriation with some... There are some things that people say you can't remake, you know? And I've always said that if you want to know whether somebody is worth time in their company, here is a very simple question, okay? What do they think about the Richard Gere remake of Breathless, okay? I love the Richard Gere remake of Breathless, okay? You know, Abu Dussouf, I think the Richard Gere remake of Breathless is just fantastic. The Jim McBride one that Richard Gere stars in, I love it. I love the William Friedkin Sorcerer, the remake of Wages of Fear. The original is brilliant, but the Friedkin Sorcerer is a masterpiece. But the absolute defining question is, where do you stand on Solaris? And there are a number of people who just go, well, you can't remake Solaris. You just can't remake Solaris. There are people who think you can't touch the Tarkovsky Solaris, mm-hmm. and they are assholes, and they have no understanding of the joy of cinema. The thing about the Soderbergh Solaris, firstly, it's the remake is based on the novel anyway. It is a film in its own right that has all the ideas and all the brio and all that. But, you know, George Clooney is great in it, and it looks wonderful. But it is about so much, and it's so short, it's so compact, and it's so audacious.
Mm-hmm.
It's so audacious to go. I remember when it was announced, he's doing Solaris. You know, it's like, he's going to be run out of the Academy of Cinema. And then I remember sitting down, I watched it. It was me, Kim Newman.
You remember where you were sitting?
I remember exactly where I was sitting. Alan Jones and Nigel Floyd. And we just went, I love this film. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I love it is because I think it's a great film. And part of the reason I love it is because it really, really annoys people for whom I have total contempt. And actually, I think that's one of the great joys of cinema.
I think that's a great reason to like anything.
It's like, okay, where do you stand on Mary Poppins? Don't like it? In that case, fuck you.
We're going to go on a whole rant again.
I genuinely don't care what you think about anything. And yeah. it's the Soderbergh Solaris for me is it's a friend. You know, it's like a divining rod for people whose opinions I care about and assholes.
I think that's a similar reasoning as to why I always think when I'm making these lists, like, what are the listeners going to think of my choices? And which is why I feel the need to point out, like, that cinema is a personal experience and all the rest of it, yeah. is because when I was making the list of spy movies and when I was making the list of Steven Soderbergh movies, I'm thinking, yeah, but what do I really... Not because I think Traffic is one of Soderbergh's best films, but it's not one that I'm going to feel like I'm going to go back to.
No, exactly.
And so, like, I'm a big rewatcher. I love rewatching movies and finding more details in it. Yeah. I like the life of cinema. The more you watch it, the better it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that is one of the most... it doesn't get talked about a lot when it comes to movies, and I think that is the rewatchability of stuff is one of the biggest things why I like movies.
And I could rewatch the Soderbergh Solaris over and over again. And I'll tell you this, I couldn't rewatch the Tarkovsky over and over again.
Sure, I've seen it.
I've seen it. It's
that's
fine.
What I'm saying.
It's a masterpiece.
That's why I was like Logan Lucky, even though it's a recent film, I would rather watch that than Traffic.
Yeah.
I think that if I wanted to sit and watch a movie, that's sort of... And Ocean's 11, that's why it's number one. It's been with me for my entire life.
Tell you something, when I was in Strasbourg, and I was there with some colleagues on the jury at the Strasbourg Fancy Film Festival, and Buddy Giovinazzi was there, and, you know, and we formed this little group, which was the people that think Steven Soderbergh's Solaris. We were having one of those kind of, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, I love Breath of the Year. I love Breath of the Year. And I said, you know what? I absolutely love the Soderbergh Solaris. And Buddy went, oh my God! You know, and then somebody else went, oh my, and what's the thing we all have in common? We're all right.
Leave the light off. You're not Shabarian.
No. Who am I then?
A puppet.
And you're not. Or maybe you're my puppet. But like all puppets, you think you're actually human. It's the puppet's dream, being human. Why did you kill yourself?
It seemed like a good idea at the time. Now I think I made a mistake.
What about your son?
And that's not my son. My son is on Earth. And that's not your wife. They are part of Solaris. Remember that.
What does Solaris want from us?
Why do you think it has to want something? This is why you have to leave. If you keep thinking there's a solution, you'll die here.
I can't leave her. I'll figure it out.
Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? There are no answers. Only choices.
Jack, it's been a real pleasure. We're going to do another one really soon. We're going to keep doing these, particularly at the moment, because I think there's, you know, more of an appetite.
We're going to do one soon about films that we think are underrated.
Yes. And you have a really interesting thesis, which we're going to argue about. Can you give us a capsule?
Yeah, we're going to talk about how we think that narrative has shifted perspective. How I think that narrative has shifted perspective from the 90s to modern day, and just in general, just a perspective of character has shifted in sci-fi specifically.
And I disagree with you.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do that. And if you have any other suggestions for things you'd like to hear us talk about, new or old, you can tweet us. Yeah, Kermode Movie,
I'm
Jack Howard.
Yeah,
just because I
you
got there
your
first.
Name, and I didn't. I just got Kermode Movie, which is such a...
That's because I took Mark Kermode, and I'm not giving it to
you. You know, the funny thing is, I'm laughing, but part of me thinks, did he? Jack, it's been a real pleasure. If you've enjoyed the podcast, remember to subscribe, tell your friends, all that usual stuff. Please, please, please stay safe. Well, there we go. That was me and Jack Howard discussing our favourite Steven Soderbergh movies. I'm sure you agree with some of the choices, but maybe disagree with many more. Perhaps you are one of those people who thinks that Soderbergh should never have touched Solaris. Let me know what you think. You can get in touch with me through Twitter at KermodeMovie. And as I said, if you go to the Patreon page, you can see that whole conversation in full video format. And it seems all the more unusual because Jack and I are actually in the same space. As I said, it was the last thing I recorded before the current coronavirus lockdown. Anyway, thanks for downloading the podcast. Check out the Patreon page if you have a moment. Keep listening, keep watching the skies, and keep healthy by staying at home.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.